Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna take you out of earth.
Shalom, brothers and sisters, welcome. I am B, the preacher. This is a day that the Most High has made, the seventh day of rest, the Shabbat, the set-apart day. I pray that you're doing well and that you're taking this time out to be refurbished, refreshed, renewed, restricted, refilled, especially in the times that we're living in. They may be perilous times, but this has to happen because it's the end of one world and preparing for another. We got next. So we must be encouraged. I'm not going to be before you long today, but right after we come back from this brief selection to Israel, we'll go into prayer and then we'll get right into our lesson.
Shema, 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 Shema.
For our in prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemayim. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Father, speak, bless your people, anoint your word, watch over it to perform it. Set free the captives. In the name of Yeshua we pray. Amen. So be it. Okay, let's see if we can bring in this other platform with success. This time, I believe we're able to get there. Yes, we are there. So let us get straight into the lesson for today. A title that you might be familiar with from your days in Christianity, your days in the church, where it said, "Touch not my anointed," and everybody thought that applied to them. And in actuality, it probably didn't apply to any of them. Most High willing, we'll get into a story about the way the churches were set up with heathenistic false prophets and pastors, where people thought they were fearing God, but honoring other idols and angels. Our people truly believe that they can live any kind of way they want to and have the divine protection of the Most High Yah, and it doesn't work that way. And there's only a remnant and an elect which can be considered set apart. The reason so many people were believing that this statement applied to them because they were erroneously taught false doctrines that the impartation of wickedness and foolishness caused them to be anointed, which gave them a license to really pretty much cut up. And we're going to go today, we're going to do a treatise on John the 7th chapter, which talks about the foundational aspect of Psalms 105 and 15. Which says, "Touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm." We're living in perilous times, and of course we are all witnessing prophecy that comes from Scripture. I don't know for the life of me why we never understood that the Old Testament that the Christian church said was done away with is what Timothy was referring to In 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction, that the man of Yah might be thoroughly furnished. Not the New Testament, which are epistles, which 70% they're repeating what's in the scriptures from the prophets out of the Tanakh. And even Christ said, I came not to destroy the law, I came to fulfill the portion that the Tanakh, the prophets, spoke of. He said, I came to fulfill it, and it will not pass away until all of it has been fulfilled. And we know, having gone through the first three high holy days, that what has not been fulfilled is the return of Christ, him tabernacling amongst us, the trumpet of his return and destruction of this earth, and the atonement of the people, the time in the wilderness. There's so much more that was prophesied in the scriptures by the prophets that have to be fulfilled. So he came to destroy sacrificial law. Once and for all time, he shed his blood that we might repent, which abolishes capital punishment. We don't have to be killed and put to death for our sins, but it's not a license to ill. It's not a license for that. You know, I used to do a show called 180 Degree Wednesdays. Your repentance is to turn away from, not do what the Christian church taught you to do, a 360 degree turn, and turn around for Sunday, pagan sun worship day, and then go right back to the mess on Monday, knowing good and well that you were going home with your boo after church and continue in sin. You guys came there unattached and from a night of fornication, went to the altar of paganism, felt convicted and repented and went right back into it. That's not how this works. Repentance is to turn away from, abolish. And I say to you men, especially, you have to be like Paul today. Forgetting those things which are behind us, we must press toward the mark. I'm so sick and tired of these men with all this estrogen in them crying about their problems. They have more drama than the sisters these days. The Bible says that when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. The onus is upon you men to press toward the mark. Forgetting those things which are behind me, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark to obtain my prize. And that's why you wonder why you can't get women to follow you, a woman to follow you. The only man that most women are following is the ones that will allow them to participate in the Jezebel parade. If you give them a license to ill, these women, and lead your church and teach and preach to your men, oh, you're going to have an assembly full of women. No men, no real men. But I digress. I parked that plane right here. Back to the topic of anointed, we're going to see today from John the 7th chapter a parallel of where we are as Christ was getting ready to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. He was telling his disciples, y'all go in there, but I'm not going to go in right now. I'm going to creep in. But the people were well aware of the fact that he was present. And people know your presence. A lot of you are trying to figure out how to deal with some of the, I won't say the construct you're in. You're dealing with a lot of pushback from family members, former friends. And it's not you isolating yourselves. It's the wheat separating from the tare. Because the more you come out of her, the world, the more you look strange to them, because you found you took upon yourself the onus to change, realizing the seriousness of this. You knew the brevity. There's not a person that in this world that doesn't understand something's going on. I know everybody's talking about, you know, and I want to say this, the Most High gave me this lesson last week out of the Testament of Solomon, about what are falling stars and shooting stars. And not long after that, there was an incident in Las Vegas. And there was an incident, the possibility of the incident with the fires. In South Quebec, how there were 20 fires set at one time. Some are saying arsonists. But when you read the Testament of Solomon, you also see what we spoke of to the glory of Yah. Let's be clear. There's the possibility, along with what happened in Las Vegas, that these two coincide. It's a very strong possibility. Satan knows his time is short. And, you know, I think it's amazing that, and I'm going to say this from my perspective, too. What happened in New York and what's happening in New York, it happened on the West Coast in California, too. And right after it happened, we went into what I consider to be the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, because right after that, we forgot about our day of darkness, or our 2 or 3 days of darkness. We forgot about it because we were immersed into C-19 and the mark, and people fighting each other, who's getting it, who's not getting it. We didn't take it as serious. 3.5 years have passed. If you look at a message that I talked about out of the book of Daniel, it's mighty peculiar that we're going into another phase of what could potentially be another time of tribulation, and it starts on the East Coast, the days of darkness. The Christian church has taught you how to interpret prophecy in a wrong way, because you think some of the prophecies are supposed to happen everywhere at the same time like this. No, Euphrates is drying up. That doesn't mean the Pacific Ocean is going to dry up. Days of darkness can happen in a particular place. That doesn't mean everywhere it's a day of darkness. Believers being murdered and killed. And what I'm saying is prophetic events and plagues are happening when you have locusts falling over in Mecca while they're over there trying to pray to their fallen idol. That's scriptural prophecy, but the locusts didn't fall in California or in Los Angeles, but that was part of prophecy. So we're in the birth pains. We're in a prophetic realm right now. And media, the synagogue of Satan is controlling, is trying to block out you from seeing that prophecy is being fulfilled, so you won't know what time it is. But also, I got news for you. The scripture said that no man shall know the day or the hour, because you know why? No man knows the day or the hour. Why? Because Satan has sought to change times and seasons. And so he has been working feverishly to confuse you with calendars, leap year days, fall back on the clock, go ahead in the clock. 1 month is 28 days. So he's throwing you off, and the Most High is allowing it because he's not going to let you know when he's coming, because not even the Son of Man, Yeshua HaMashiach, knows when Yah is going to split the sky. So he said we would know the season, and truly we're in the season for the end of times, and the entire earth is feeling the birth pains. You know what's being birthed? The woman. What is the woman spoken of in Revelations? The 12 tribes of Israel are about to emerge because the awakening has happened. So this is what we're experiencing. This is what we're going through. And that's where the confusion is. I hope you understand that. So I'm expecting more apocalyptic events in the coming days. And I don't say this, well, you know, I'm going to take that back. I was going to say, I'm not saying this to be a fear monger, but no, I want you to fear Yah. Because too many people love Jesus, but they don't fear Yah. If you feared Yah, you'd think twice about parlaying in sin. Your cavalier, serendipitous approach to these tumultuous times. These people don't like the children of Israel, and they're at work to do whatever they can to destroy you. I did a lesson. Most High gave me a lesson sometime back. You can see on YouTube and archives, called Contracts and Covenants. Did you know Satan is going to go before the court of Yah and show that some people signed contracts here on earth for fame and that they belong to him, their soul, because they compromised it? Esau did it with Jacob. Gave up his birthright. I did not know that some of these, and we're going to get into the lesson. I did not know that some of these worldly contracts, we never read fine print. And I'm going to say this to you. Be careful when you're on your phone and you're filling something out real quick and it says agree and submit, and you click it. because you don't feel like reading those 20 pages. Some of these record music industry acting contracts say inside them that I will own you in every dimension and every time from this point on. That's Satan stipulating that no matter what happens to you when you die, your soul, they're connecting the contract to your eternal soul. And you best believe if Yah's going to pull out Enoch and Abel with the records, this is the apocalypse of Abraham, at your judgment, Satan's going to try to pull out the contracts he had with you, how you said you didn't want Yah or his heavenly kingdom for fame on this earth. The same fame he tried to offer HaMashiach after his 40-day fast. He came out weak, because he'll come at you when you're weak, sick, afflicted. Curse God to die, Joel. And he said, I'll give you all these kingdoms if you'll just bow down and worship me. And the worship of Satan is in the form of idolatry, wealth, riches, partying, sex, fame. You're participating in those rituals. So the contracts are signed and the covenants are signed. And many, I thank the Father to this day that I didn't sign a lot of contracts that were thrown in my face. And trust me, as I mentioned, those contracts pertain to employment too. These CEOs and executives have signed their lives away. That's how they became a part of the so-called 1%. So let's get into this lesson. Quick synopsis is that, you know, the anointed will be protected because, for one, let's remember this. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I have to set this up. The Most High says in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, his elect, he has not appointed them to wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. Let me read it exactly. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For Yah hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Yahsha HaMashiach. Some of y'all call Yehoshua, Yeshua. I'll be glad when he comes back and he straightens out all our language for you perfecters of the Hebrew. But anyway, we're waiting for the salvation of Yahsha. So we know these things that we're going through have to happen. The title of this lesson comes from Psalms 105:15. Which says, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. And when we talk about anointed ones, I guess that brings up a good question. Well, before I try and give you a definition, let's just get into it. So I want you to see how this leads up, because you're going to see a prime example of not touching the anointed. Christ, the word Christ, which is Christos, in the Greek means the anointed. And this is why you have to understand that even in the book of Maccabees, they had Christos and Christ figures, Christians. That's why we don't use Christians and Christianity, followers of Christ. That just means follower of the anointed, the called out, the chosen one. And then there's the anti-Christ, people who are against an anointing, are against a chosen one. So you must remember that Jesus Christ. Christ is not the second name Jesus. Yeshua, it's Yahsha HaMashiach is who we worship. And he's a set apart son of Yah. So we get caught up in this word Christ. We were warned by Yeshua that many Christs will come. People saying, I'm anointed. How many times did you hear that in the Christian church? Girl, he's anointed. Oh, he on the oracle, she can sing. Oh, man, they are anointed. And that propped people up. And people ran to evangelistic meetings, conferences, concerts, because this person was anointed. Nah, man, that wasn't the case. Not set apart, not different. It's a worldly concept that Christ warned us about, especially when he said, let them no man deceive you. Let's get into it. 1 John 7, starting at the first verse. After these things, Yeshua walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. There you have your synagogue of Satan, Revelations 2:9, 3:9, because conversion happened in the 4th century. during the time of Herodias, our King Herod, these people were converts. These people were Romans who converted. These people were Sadducees and Pharisees, the Pharisaical people as well, much more so, sought to kill Yeshua. And this chapter breaks all this down. Now, the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Okay? Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Verse 3, his brethren therefore said unto him, talking about Yeshua, depart hence and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. And they said, they were telling Yeshua, you need to go to the Feast of Tabernacles and show them who you are. Show off, spirit of pride. Thought that he was here to grandstand because they wanted a savior who will grandstand. And that's just what we talked about. The worldly concept of I'm anointed turns into grandstanding. The so-called most anointed of the Christian church got record contracts, got big churches, got called to the evangelistic meetings, got all the perks that the world gives, no different than the world. But let's continue. Verse 4. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret. Look at how they trying to push him. I want you to see yourself in this now. There's no man that doeth anything in secret. Well, that's not true. He told us in Matthew's, I believe, the sixth chapter, whatever you do, do it in secret. Your prayer closet, to give in secret. And listen to how his friends and people surrounding are saying, why are you doing it? Why are you keeping it to yourself? Why are you hiding? And let's go on. And he himself seeketh to be known openly. So they're like, why would you do something in secret if you want to be known open? If thou do these things, show thyself to the world. Let's pause, because I don't think you, I want to give you some precepts today, because one thing I can't stand are people that are not giving precepts, because the scripture says, through thy precepts, I get understanding. That's how our people learn. You must connect scripture, and scripture interprets scripture. Matthew 6 says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward. So Matthew 6 is where you go to find out about doing everything in secret. It's not for nobody to even know about or to see or discover. This is between you and the Most High. This is a covenant thing. Let's continue. Verse 5. For neither did his brethren believe in him. They didn't believe in him, and that's why they were trying to push him to go show up. They're like, let's see what he's going to do now. Let's see what you got. Let's see what you got. A lot of y'all went through that, and you've seen, you remember that as growing up, 20s, 30s, or even in your 40s, even in your 50s now, 60s, whatever it might be. People try to prompt you, push you, and agitate you as you see they're doing Yeshua right here. Verse 6. Then Yeshua said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. So he like never got ahead of Yah, the Father. He would wait on him. There's such a lesson in that, that you never let anyone, including it could be a family member, your wife, your parent, if it's not resonating with your spirit to move, don't move. Do not be prompted. Sometimes I look at people like they're crazy, like, okay, I hear you. And I do that because it's like, no, I'm staying locked into the Father. But we can so easily be swayed by allowing the opinions, good intentions, our communications of others to sway us. This is what Job's friends even did to him. Good intentions are what Uzzah, who tried to stop the ark, and Peter, who cut off the man's ear, had. Good intentions are not the Most High's way. My time has not yet come. Verse 7, the world, listen to what Yeshua is saying to these people. The world cannot hate you, these worldly people. He said they can't hate you. Because these people were scared of the Jews, not Yah. These people were not that were trying to promulgate him, prompt him to get out there and show out. And they were of Satan the way they were talking. He said, the world can't hate you. The world can't hate their own. He said, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Everything of this world is evil. When you start to stand up against the evil in this world, everybody's going to hate you. You have to accept it. This is where the scripture counted all joy comes in. The scripture tells us, Israel, the joy of Yah is our strength. You got to count it joy, because what you signed up for, you have no idea. And if you had saw the movie before you signed up, a lot of y'all wouldn't do it. Verse 8, go ye up unto this feast. Prepare with me. Okay, good. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet into this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. There is something you must understand, that you move in the fullness of time, not when it's partially ready. This takes a lot of discernment in this last hour for us to make it through. Not just because it's the feast, I need to be there. If you're not ready, you're not ready. There's a lot of things you shouldn't step into if you know you're not ready, if your mind's not right, if you're not consecrated, if you haven't fasted, if you haven't prayed. Are you ready? Verse 9, when he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. Y'all go. I'm chilling right here. I'll come when it's time. Verse 10. But when his brethren were gone up, after they had left him, the ones that were trying to, you know, prompt him to do something he shouldn't do and go show out, show up and show out, then went he also up into the feast. So look at what the Most High did. He went in silently and crept, not openly, but he went in secret. Selah moment. Because see, my people, you Israelites, you ninjas, y'all like to come in and grandstand and be fashionably late and everything, but you want to be seen. That's why you got the outfit. Y'all doing it at the Feast of Tabernacles now. It's a fashion show. You got the best fringes, the best costume outfit. Y'all come in like, yeah, ta-da. But who went to the feast and nobody knew you were there for a particular purpose? I don't like what some of these feasts have become now. Great conferences, booths. Making merchandise, excuse me for the noise, making merchandise of the people and concerts and who's the best and who did what. Don't like none of that now. Y'all pray for me. I ain't got out the cities yet. And that's classic city living right there. Surrounded by sin. Okay, we digress. Verse 11. Then the Jews saw him at the feast and said, where is he? Look at that. We know he up in here. Verse 12, and there was much murmuring. Everybody starts saying among the people concerning him. For some said, he's a good man. And others said, nay, but he deceives the people. Why? Because they felt he was bringing another doctrine, because he was not being adherent to the laws that they wanted to put of bondage on the people. But he was coming in, healing, talking sense. 13, howbeit no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. We are moving into that time, are in that time now. Fear of the ADL, fear of censorship, fear of being an y'all sitting up here on YouTube changing your words, somebody, I got two strikes. Streets is always open. Most High is always sending somebody up to you to preach to. We're just learning about doing things in secret. Why you want a grandstand? Everybody's operating and moving in fear of the wish people. I'm going to let that stand right there, and you can read into that and interpret it. Verse 12, and there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. There's a murmuring going on about the awakening happening right now. People don't like it because they know it's the truth, which means some people getting ready to pay. There's not one person who does not understand that this is the end of this age and destruction is coming. Every nation and race sees it, but what they're trying to do is incorporate themselves into the salvation and deliverance. And it's not for them. There's a remnant of them that will make it, but they are not the perceived targets or the original intent. They are the, how you say, they are the the word escapes me. You know, they're not the main benefactors. They're just a secondary thought. Exactly. If he once said you were nothing but spittle, that's what he considers you, then you are definitely a secondary thought. And let's not get it twisted. You will not boast against the natural branches. There are different groups of people, 144,000, those that will be in the city. And then there's those that of other nations that will be outside the city that will have to come up into Jerusalem for this feast once a year. And if not obedient, they'll be destroyed. So let's get that straight. This new Jerusalem will not be for everyone that does happen to make it. Okay, where are we? 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and started teaching in the middle. He's like, let me go up in here and drop some knowledge. 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? See, this is the thing that the Ruach wants to do for you, that you should have received at Pentecost and not a spirit of heaviness. And I'm throwing off. You should have been refilled, replenished, and you should have the Ruach, because only the Ruach can help you to understand these precepts and scriptures and teach the people. And look at the Jews marveling, saying, how knoweth this man letters having never learned? I know all this. And this is how the Most High wants to set you apart. Yeshua answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Key. The reason they were marveling, because he made sure not to speak words that made him look good. You know how we try to use Hebrew words, big words, deep words, and make ourselves appear deep to people. He immediately did something that we should learn to do. He gave Yah the glory in verse 16. And then precept, Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Lose your pride, do things in secret. This ain't about you. Your numbers, your hits, hit the like button. Doing 4 videos a day, 20 a week, trying to get a YouTube check. Y'all killing me right now. Be careful, and I tell myself this too, of giving yourself anniversaries. Man, I've been in this truth, and I got so many lessons, and we've been, man, I remember when praising yourself, that another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth. Lay off, supposed remnant, anointed, called out. We're learning right now. Do everything like Yeshua did it quietly. Shh. Don't worry about me. My time may come. Y'all go ahead and go. I digress. Verse 17. Now listen, if you keep your mouth shut and don't praise yourself, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. His will is supposed to keep his commandments. Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of man, and the testimony of the Lord, making wise the simple. When you keep these things, you stop being simple-minded, and you come into conversion. It's so important. So if you do his will, he will speak through you and give you revelation. And it will be of Yah, and you will not speak of yourself. Verse 18, because if you want to patronize yourself, patronize your school, your channel, your lessons, what you brought, what you did, what you said, what you prophesied, what Yah told me. Yeah, if you do that, 18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Man, I tell you, this chapter is powerful. But he that seeketh Yah's glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. That should be my entire lesson today to you. And I'm saying this because you got to get this down so that you will be blameless when you stand before the Most High, or to give yourself some assurance that you're going to the kingdom, going through the wilderness and going into the kingdom. What is the assurance? Well, 1 John 2:3, we hereby do know we know him if we keep his commandments. But this is secondary right here. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Stop. Minimize yourself. Please disappear. But if you seek the glory of Yah, humility, you got to give him the glory. Every time somebody compliments you or happens to see what you did, you should feel ashamed. Oh, that was nice what you did. It wasn't for you to see. Let's not talk about that. Glory to Yah. Let's keep it moving. Don't tell people I just went and fed 100 people today. This is what the world does. That's a worldly tenet. It's called humanity. Alms. Charitable giving. And that's when they give you a plaque and an award, bring you up on stage. That's it. I don't want nothing down here in this time from Satan's kingdom. I'm building up treasures in heaven. Proverbs 27:2, and this right here, don't speak about anything you did. That's why I'm even cautious that I know that he gave me last weekend prior to those fires, but I'm going to let you know, I didn't even realize it until later in the week, and still not about to, like, go do a special YouTube service. If you go back, you'll see. God, we're so full of pride. But he that seeketh Yah's glory that sent him, how can I glorify Yah? You got to glorify him. And I'm about to, here we go. Also glorifying him is in our cultural persuasion and stance. If you want to run around here looking like the world and I can't delineate you from the world because you have no cultural appropriation happening amongst your outer appearance, and you don't want to give him the glory. You're bringing attention to yourself by trying to look like them women, when you can come to a lower state by removing your makeup, your butterfly eyelashes, your three-tone hair, your splits in your skirts, and your tight pants. So you're saying, I want to become of no, when you tone it down, I don't need all that. Because I don't want to be looked at like that. I don't want any focus on me. I'm not trying to intrigue and attract. I'm trying to point to. And when they see a godly woman, because you shine, you glow with a natural beauty, and you have a demure presence, you don't try to connect eyes with every man or outdo every woman. So this I don't have to cover my hair. I don't have to take off. That's the spirit of Jezebel you're operating in. I don't have to stop teaching men. I don't have to get married, raise a family, and teach women to be good wives and good mothers. That's the spirit of rebellion. You want to hear it? Here we go. Verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? He had to teach us how to dress, how to conduct ourselves. And yes, it was the Levitical priesthood, but it's still applicable for those who are in sin, because sin is transgression of the law. So when you transgress the law, you got to go back to the foundation and get things in order. Once this is written in your mind and you conform to it, you are transformed and renewed, and you won't go backwards, because that would be backsliding. Now, of course, this verse, I'm using it in that manner, saying that you don't want to keep the laws as far as conforming to cultural appropriation. But this right here, he was telling the people that were coming at him, these pharisaical, fake-ish people, he's like, y'all don't even keep this stuff. You, right now, you're trying to kill me. You're looking for me because y'all want to kill me. And the people answered and said, you got a demon in you. This is the natural reaction of worldly people and how they deal with anointed people who are really called out by Yah, who have these concepts down. They'll say, just got a devil. I think I hear a demon. Did you know that your set apartness and your anointing to the world, they will try to belittle you and say you have the demon when they have the demon? this is good calling evil, calling good evil, and you know how the prophecy goes. And he said, thou hast a devil who go about to kill thee. And Yeshua answered them in verse 21 and said unto them, I have done one work, and y'all all marveling like, whoa. Verse 22, Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but it's of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day, you still circumcising men on the Sabbath day. Saying, I got a devil because I did one miracle. Anyway, verse 23. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? What are they saying? If a man was born on Friday, the Mosaic law, Moshe's law says on the eighth day he must be circumcised. So if he was born on a Friday the week before and then it falls on that Shabbat the eighth day, they have to obey the law and he must be circumcised. But they're saying it's a Sabbath. So he comes at them in such a way that they have to question everything they do, and this is very true. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moshe should not be broken, and you're angry at me because I'm healing somebody on the Sabbath? Verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We have the ability to do good on the Sabbath. We have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they recover on the Shabbat. We must do good. What are our intentions? Verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? Verse 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ, the HaMashiach? Here's where it starts with they can't touch him. They couldn't touch the anointed. He's speaking what they would call bold. Like he's talking crazy. He got some cojones. And they wanted to kill him, but they couldn't touch him because of the power and wisdom that was coming out of his mouth. Verse 26, but lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Imagine one man putting in check a room full of your people that's strapped. And you know they strapped, but you're standing firm, bold, and checking them. And they looking at you. You know, personally, I got to testify that I've been in situations I shouldn't have come out of back in my day. When I was in darkness, it was all out of assault, came to the light. The assault was still, the threat was still supposedly there. But no one could do anything, and I don't give myself the glory. I feel like the Most High, I don't feel like I know that the threat was called off because of what the Most High had in store for me down the line. Now, it's not about me. It's about his purpose, call and election, because Jeremiah 1:5 tells us that before we were formed in our mother's bellies, that he called us, ordained us to a purpose. There's so many things that have transpired in your life, the prophet's life, biblical characters' lives in their early days that they should not have survived, but for a set future purpose, the Most High had a plan, and he shielded you from hurt, harm, danger. There was divine protection. And I know many of you are thinking about it now. Let's continue. I think we left off at 26. But lo, he speaketh boldly. We did that one. Verse 27. Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man know who he is. This was where they were off, thinking that the HaMashiach was going to come and nobody would be able to recognize who he is. Familiarity breeds contempt. They're like, we know him. That's the carpenter's son. And he's not from Bethlehem. He's from Galilee. That's what they said. Look, 28, then cried Yeshua in the temple as he taught, saying, ye both know me, and you know where I am. You know whence I am. He's like, y'all know who I am. Stop playing. This is how bold this man was talking to these people. And he talked the same way the demon-possessed people. When the demons would cry out of people, he would say, you know who I am, now come out. He was telling the demons inside the people and the people rebuking them, y'all, you know who I am. And you know whence I am. And I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom ye not know. They can cut you up verbally all they want. They know when there's something different about you and there's an anointing on you, your life speaks of it. Your tenacity and your continuance speaks of it. And you stand bold, and they don't understand why and how. People asking, why he got that, why this and that happens. As long as you continue to give Yah the glory. Let's continue. 29, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Are you like that right there? Let's see if you're one of the anointed. Do you know him? Are you sent by Yah? Did he send you? Does he know you? Don't forget Matthew 7, 21 through 23. People are going to be told, depart from me because I never knew you. See the Antichrist, Satan, performs miracles, even in Egypt before we came out. Pharaoh called out his magicians to do miracles. What Satan can't do is create. Which is what I heard the other day with these contracts, is that the reason a lot of people get up under contract is because their creativity is being stolen from them by the satanic kingdom and manipulating their connection with the Most High. Because creativity comes, all these inventions that we created that they stole, these patents, it comes from a connectivity to the heavens to understand design and the way things come from. Satan doesn't have that. Let's keep going. Verse 31, and many of the people believed on him and said, when Yeshua cometh, will he do more miracles than this guy's doing? Than these which this man have done? 32, the Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Once again, 33, then said Yeshua unto them, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I'm going, and then I go unto him that sent me. I'm only going to be here for 3.5 years. 34, you shall seek me where he is now. He's on his way back. And shall not find me. And where I am, thither you cannot come. You will not get out of this firmament. Nobody's been out of the firmament. He's up in the seventh expanses of heaven and getting ready to crack that firmament very soon. Verse 35, then said the Jews among themselves, where will he go that we shall not find him? This is how arrogant they are today. And I'm moving forward. As to where they think you can't get away, you can't do nothing, you can't participate in nothing. It's funny how I heard somebody speaking today about how they hired this Johnny Crump to represent every the case that happens with us, and any attorney that is powerful and has knowledge that could win in the courts. The courts are very serious as it pertains to Satan's jurisdiction and him being able to stand before Yah and present his courts to Yah's courts in the last day. But how people who have the ability to do this, like the woman who represented Bill Cosby, she was stripped of her license on a technicality because she was that good, that powerful. Johnny, this Crump guy is going to give them an engine, help them to achieve an expected end to their narrative because they want to control how things outcome, which is why they sent his face, but put their people behind it to generate an expected narrative and income to control and give us the illusion of justice. There's no justice, no peace. It's true. Because the book of Jeremiah, I believe, or maybe Hosea, it says that that Yah is our habitation of justice. We will not have anything until he comes with his son to give us salvation, and then we will be justified. So there'll be no justice, and there's nothing here for you. And your salvation is coming. And if you depend on him and become of no reputation, then you'll be protected, anointed, and covered. And this is what I'm bringing out. And what manner of saying is this, that you shall seek me and we won't find you where we can't come? We run this. We own this. Wherever you go, we'll be able to find you. But they didn't know who they were talking to. 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, because it's a 7-day, the Feast of Tabernacles, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. So at the end of the feast, he decided to stand up and say something out loud. 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. We know the analogy. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him would receive. Only they that believe on him would understand this. You need to understand the power of the Ruach and the testimony of Yeshua HaMashiach that you must possess to understand the prophecies, which is why I don't let Esau and a lot of these Edomites try and teach the oracles because they weren't given to them. For the Ruach was not yet given because that Yeshua was not yet glorified. Now, if you're truly filled with the Ruach, I know certain things that are going to happen inside of you if you're Esau and Edomite before you teach and preach. You're going to come with a certain humility in a certain kind of way because the oracles still were not given to your nation. But there is the opportunity because of Acts that you can be filled with the Ruach. But I know what humility it brings. It does not bring a spirit of boasting against the natural branches. I can't emphasize that enough. Verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. This is the man. Y'all tripping. And others said, this is the HaMashiach. But some said, shall HaMashiach come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that HaMashiach comes from the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division amongst the people, as there is today, because of him. He's a stumbling block. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. They sought to kill him, lay hands on him, and they were restrained by the Ruach. They couldn't touch him. They wanted to, but there was a fear, and there was a, we probably better not. I don't know. What if it is? A lot of this happens to you who are truly anointed, and this is where you want to be, and this is all we have as far as our protection in this earth right now. The angels that protect us and our humility and obedience and order amongst Israel. 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why have you not bought him? What's wrong with y'all? Y'all tripping? Y'all scared of him? The officer said, we ain't never heard a man speak like this man. 47, then answered them the Pharisees, are y'all deceived? Y'all believing in his rhetoric? That's what they thought it was. See, when you truly sent of Yah and the words that you give come from him through praying and fasting, people look at you like, "What? Who is this?" 48, have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But the people who knoweth not the law are cursed. And Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Yeshua by night, being one of them, doth your law judge any man before it hears him? Because the law tells you to hear a man out before you judge him. And now what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Like, oh, you with him? He said, search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. So they were confused, perplexed, because they said, this man was born in Bethlehem. They had it all twisted and confused. What I wanted you to see is how many times they sought, from the beginning of the feast, the first day all the way to the eighth day, they sought to lay hands on him in the middle of a high holy day. You got fakers showing up. They want to destroy your reputation, but they sought to bring accusation against him, et cetera, but could not do it or touch him. And because he walked in the humility of non-reputation and waiting on the Father in his time and his words, was nothing going to happen to him. You can't touch the set apart people. The only way you're going to be set apart is to be Kodesh by keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments, conforming to humility, humbleness, changing the attack. Stop minimizing. I am so serious to appease the flesh of sinful people who are demon-possessed and that need deliverance. All right, that's been my time. I'm not going to belabor it. Listen, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Until next time, be vigilant and endure until the end. I'm V the Preacher. Peace and blessings.